You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Hey, folks, that's it. It means everything. Ain't no time like the present to join right now an organization like Shark Hunters, and backed by popular demand, closing out this evening's program is Harry Cooper, the founder of Shark Hunters, an organization that exists, as you know, if you listened to Harry in last month's appearance, to tell the history of the U-boats without propaganda and to bring former enemies together as friends. Shark Hunters organizes tours of Europe, as we told you last week, and elsewhere, South America too, where members can meet with the German veterans and visit together the various historic sites of the World War II era of Germany, and learn. You're going to learn even more this hour when Harry returns as our guest right now for the second time in 4 weeks. Harry, it is great to have you back.
Happy to be here, James.
Keith Alexander is with us tonight. He wasn't with us 4 weeks ago when you last appeared, but as I shared with you, Harry, and as I shared with Keith, popular demand did bring you back. I was always going to bring you back. I didn't know I'd bring you back this quickly, but we received a deluge of correspondence, emails, and letters, and beyond, people praising your appearance. And Keith, you were one of them as well. What was it about Harry Cooper? What is it about Harry Cooper that you were so drawn to and that you think the rest of the audience was so drawn to?
The fact that he basically wants to build bridges with our so-called former enemies. You know, they weren't our enemies. They were just like our soldiers. They were doing what their elders taught them and told them to do. But on the other hand, they were honorable men who fought honorably. You know, this is not like the Japanese that were cruel to our prisoners and whatnot. The Germans weren't that way at all. And the Germans, the way that the German soldiers were treated by under Eisenhower's edicts right after World War II is a disgrace to America and to the Allies generally. And I'm so glad that Harry is taking the opportunity to reach out and get who's left of the old fighters on both sides in World War II together.
Well, we covered that at length in his appearance last month, and Harry, I'll toss it over to you. I thought we gave it a pretty good treatment with regards to the who, what, where, when, and why of your organization, Shark Hunters, how it came to be, what led you to founding the organization. We're not going to replow all of that ground this hour. We're going to move on to other topics. But if you want to go back and listen to that, I encourage you to do so because, again, it was a big hit with this audience. And I think, Harry, you received some feedback as well.
Yes, I did. Some very nice people, and they joined Shark Hunters. It's easy to join Shark Hunters. Just go to our website, sharkhunters.com, and scroll down past the picture of Ronald Reagan, who was a member until his death. And I'm looking at the Presidential Medal of Merit that he gave me sitting on my desk, and the American flag he sent me is right behind me. And there's a link down there at Shark Hunters Patreon or something. I am about as stupid at computers as they come. But you click on that, and you can sign up, and it automatically charges your card or however you set it up for $10 a month. $10, that's nothing. You get the key to go into our website and look at all our past issues of our magazine and the new one every time it comes out. Bingo, you get the first shot at it. You can never lose an issue because it's saved on the main computer. Some 300 films are on there, mostly wartime films, a lot of combat films from the German cameras, hundreds and hundreds of hours of wartime music. It's all on there. It's all just 10 whoopee bucks a month. You can't get a meal at McDonald's anymore for $10.
But let me tell you, as a father of three,
he knows.
It's $50 at McDonald's, and I am a member of Shark Hunters, and I pay my $10 a month, and it is the best money I spend every month. And again, folks, if you want to learn about the history of this organization, its formation, all of the benefits, all of the perks, again, the who, what, where, when, and why, go back and listen to Harry's appearance with us back in September. But I want to read
it's
one.
It's fascinating to hear what the people that you've reached out to over in Germany, for example. So.
Oh, well, we're going to get into more of that in just a moment.
We knew so many of them. They were just the nicest people. And now that the Kung Flu scamdemic is over, we're going back to Germany early October next year. For 2 weeks.
And hold on right there, my friend. Hold on. I want to get into that at the very top of the next segment, if you don't mind. I know we're coming up on a break.
Not a problem.
I want to get at the very top of the next segment, we're going to plug that hard and all of the details. But I want to, before we do that, just read. We read some correspondence last week. This is one that I shared with you, Harry, one that you probably received because I know this gentleman, our listener, joined as a member. A listener
right.
from Minnesota.
You sent it to me as an attachment, and you highlighted in yellow the section.
Well, and I've got it highlighted here as it sits on my desk in the studio, and I'd like to read it for the entire audience and then your response to it. I'm sure you receive
roll.
A lot of this. This is what this listener in Minnesota wrote into me just before he joined Shark Hunters. I was hanging on every word during your interview with Harry Cooper. There is never capitalized the word never in all letters, never capitalized, been an hour on your show that went by so quickly for me. Now, that is something, Harry. Never for this listener has there been an hour that went by so quickly as the one that we shared with you last
night. It's very humbling. It really is rewarding and humbling.
His unique link, that is your unique link, with the German U-boat veterans is nothing short of a national treasure. How he has brought so many veterans together and given birth to new relationships from both sides of World War II is nothing short of awe-inspiring. As a retired Navy vet myself, and as the grandson of a World War II vet who flew torpedo bombers against the U-boats in the North Atlantic, I have a particular interest in these great men. I immediately became a member of the Shark Hunters organization, and I'm looking forward to immersing myself in this authentic history. This is a man, well, you just heard it, his history, his family's history, fighting
right.
against these people. This is what your organization was all about, to bring former enemies together as friends.
Yeah, and we've had so many times when guys who were fighting against one another, when they'd meet at our conventions, they become best buddies.
Well, here's what we're going to do, folks. We have said enough. We're going to turn the remainder of this hour over to Harry Cooper himself. Sharkhunters.com, that's where you want to go. That's where you want to join. And we're going to talk about your next opportunity to meet with these people and tour these historic sites of World War II next. Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog with exclusive offerings like Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more. There's something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com. That's antelopehillpublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to go to antelopehillpublishing.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Well, everybody knows the orchestral arrangement of Final Countdown by the group named Europe, no less. This may be your final countdown to go to Europe with Shark Hunters. Hey, listen, I hope we Shark Hunters is doing tours of the World War II sites with the veterans on both sides for many years to come. But who knows what the future will bring and if there'll be another scamdemic or what. This is what I want to talk to Harry about this segment, and then we're going to give him free rein in the next segment to talk about other news and topics of interest that he's working on and things that he thinks would be of interest to the audience. But digging a little deeper into Shark Hunters as an organization, let's mention the dates of the 2023 patrols. So that's coming up next year, Harry, about a year from now, and how people can come aboard to these patrols and patrols or the tours of Europe that you the very unique tours of Europe that you give that you could only get with Shark Hunters. That's why I pay my $10 a month. I have heard from people who, and I have said this so many times, I will never ask a member of my listening audience to do something that I'm not willing to do for myself, and that is if I encourage you to contribute to an organization, I will not do it unless I'm doing it myself. So when I say join Shark Hunters, do it, I'm doing it. The dates have now been mentioned, Harry. Last time you appeared, I don't think the dates were quite in stone yet. What can you tell us about the Shark Hunters Patrol of 2023?
We've pretty well got the dates nailed down for Germany. South America, we'll talk about that in a minute. But Germany, we're going to begin over there in Munich on Saturday, 30 September. And we go for 2 weeks, and we'll be coming back. We go back to the airport Saturday, 14 October, I think. I don't have my calendar, but it's...
I got it right here. In fact, I believe it's September 24th through October 7th, 2 weeks.
No, that's been moved back 1 week, so it's September 30. And the reason being, and this is the kingpin of the whole works. Now, you mentioned battlefields, et cetera. We don't go to Normandy or any. You can go to Normandy with anybody and his brother. We go places a lot of people don't even know about. The key on this one is called the Ulrichsberg Memorial. Ulrichsberg means Ulrich's Mountain, and this is in Austria near Klagenfurt. And after World War One was over, the German soldiers, after the surrender, the German soldiers were released wherever they were captured, and they had to walk all the way back through Germany to their homes. And the civilians were shooting at them like rabbits because it was okay. Germany had no power. And they had their first meeting on Ulrich's Mountain by a devastated cathedral. And every year, to thank God for being alive. And so every year they meet there to honor everyone who fell in battle, no matter what army, no matter what flag flew over them. my friend Jörg Haider said, except for the Tito partisans, because they were horrible, vicious people. But it's up there to remember everyone who fell in battle, who fought honorably, and of course the Southern Poverty Law Center, who we call the Spitlickers, refers to this as a Nazi convention. What, asshole? Yeah, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that on the air.
That's okay.
But
in this circumstance, in this example, it's okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, like I say, we call them the Spitlickers, and because they've published on their website that I'm a Nazi, which is I've never been a Nazi. I'm a Republican forever, and the Shark Hunters is a hate group, yet Ronald Reagan was a member. The four Medal of Honor winning American submarine commanders were members. The last commander-in-chief of the Soviet Navy is still a member. None of them guys knew they were Nazis. They all thought they were Americans or commies or whatever. You know, these people do that just so they can wring more money out of the people they terrify, and they bring in about $50 million a year. Yeah, and right now I'm looking at my checkbook for Shark Hunters. We got 800 and something bucks in there, and these guys have $500 million in their ready account. Anyhow, so I digress. We're going there, and that is the key thing that everything else has to go around. So we're landing on at Munich, 30 September, Saturday. The next day is the last day of Oktoberfest, so of course we go there. People think Oktoberfest is in October. It isn't. It's the last 2 weeks of September. It is awesome. If you've never been there, it's the world's biggest state fair or whatever. There's each huge tent, it's a beer tent, but it's for a particular Munich beer. Paul Honor beer, Löwenbräu, et cetera. And each one has this gigantic tent, and each one has these oompa bands that are trying to drown out the other. Your listeners can go to sharkhunters.com and click on tours and see all sorts of photos, more than you're going to want to see, probably hundreds and hundreds of them. And the food is great. One thing about Germany and Austria, you cannot take a bad photo, you cannot get a bad beer, and you cannot get a bad meal. The people are wonderfully friendly. The scenery is just incredible. And the meals, you don't go home hungry. And my Irish granddad is probably turning over in his grave because I gave up drinking some years ago, but I'll have a beer every so often over there. So anyhow, we go to Oktoberfest. And then I don't know which day is what, but we go to a big air museum where they've got magnificently maintained Focke Wulf FW-190s, ME-110, Heinkel 111 bomber, F-104s, etc. And there, the city of Ingolstadt has a huge big fair. We go to that. I'm just grabbing out of the air. Oh, then, you know, the castle, if you ever saw the movie Where Eagles Dare?
Yeah.
That castle that they used in that movie was privately owned. It's not privately owned now, and we're going to tour that castle. There's another castle we tour in Austria where we eat just like the knights of old. You don't get a plate, you get a board. And they slice up beef, pork, chicken, etc. on the board, and you eat that way. And we get pulled into a little bit of a play. When we were there last time, the guy who runs it, he's the castle bailiff. He picked me for the king and another one for the judge, etc. And he pulled up one guy, this huge 6'4" Norwegian, or Dane, and he was the ogre, and one of our smaller guys, they made him the knight, and said the knight has to go out and chase the ogre, and Dag, the Dane, he leans over the guy who's going to be the knight, and he says, I must kill you, and we just went through, everybody had such a great time. We go through bunkers and tunnels, some of which almost nobody knows about. The deep tunnel, which requires a little bit of hiking, but all of a sudden, right next to you on the side of the mountain, this 8-foot by 8-foot hole opens up, and we go in. You go a half a mile in, and then it zigs right for another quarter mile. This was in the Austrian Alps, and it was being dug as an escape route for Hitler. But the war ended, you know, and so they just quit digging. I'm sure I'm forgetting a whole lot of stuff. But your listeners can just send me an email, sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com, and I'll put them on the email list and send the details out when we get them. But the biggest attraction is Ulriksberg, where we were up on top of this really high mountain by the remains of an old cathedral. And they remember everybody who fell in battle, no matter what uniform they wore.
Yeah, folks, listen, I mean, you're talking with, we're talking and listening with Harry Cooper about some of the sites he sees and gives you access to when you join Shark Hunters and go on one of these patrols or tours of Germany and Austria. And it is just engrossing. If you go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, you go to our promotional blog about tonight's program, go and look at some of the World War II veterans that Harry's group has access to. You can call them Nazis if you so choose, but these are men who fought for their country. We talked about that in the last episode with Harry. They did their duty. They protected, they wanted to fight for
exposing
their country.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Barusa reporting. By next year, half of Medicare beneficiaries will have a private Medicare Advantage plan. Most large insurers in the program have been accused in court of fraud. The health system Kaiser Permanente called doctors in during lunch and after work and urged them to add additional illnesses to the medical records of patients they hadn't seen in weeks. Doctors who found enough new diagnoses could earn bottles of champagne or a bonus in their paycheck. Anthem, a large insurer now called Elevance Health, paid more to doctors who said their patients were sicker, and executives at United Health Group, the country's largest insurer, told their workers to mine old medical records for more illnesses, and when they couldn't find enough, sent them back to try again. The diagnoses had a lucrative side effect that let the insurers collect more money from the federal government's Medicare Advantage program. While speaking at a Volvo plant in Hagerstown, Maryland, Friday, and a month before Election Day, President Biden touted many of his economic achievements during his term, including his bipartisan infrastructure deal, the CHIPS Act, Inflation Reduction Act, and other legislation he says helped facilitate the country's economic recovery during the COVID pandemic. Biden warning that if Republicans take control this fall, though, many of these achievements will be reversed and regular Americans will suffer the consequences.
If Republicans take control of the Congress, the $2,000 cap on prescription drug costs we just passed goes away, gone. If they take back the control of the Congress, the $35 a month cap on insulin for folks on Medicare we just passed goes away, gone. The savings on health care premiums we just got for a million Americans for Affordable Care Act, gone.
This is USA Radio News.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our health care. No doubt, this is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly health care costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with healthcare costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry that's worked beautifully for 29 years. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Welcome back, everybody, with Shark Hunters founder and president Harry Cooper. SharkHunters.com. I'm a member. I want you to be a member, and I want you to remember these men. The men who Harry honors and seeks to restore their dignity and integrity. It is because of Harry Cooper that I had an opportunity to interview a former Luftwaffe pilot. We interviewed him twice many years ago, and it was somebody you met, Harry, at the Show of Shows in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And in any event, he basically just totally solidifies everything you're talking about. If you didn't catch Harry Cooper's interview with us back in September, please go back and listen to that, because there's so much we covered that we don't have the chance to recover right now. But these men, listen, Harry, give me 30 seconds. The German veterans, the German World War II veterans, okay, we all know who we're talking about. You've met so many of them. And if you go to sharkhunters.com, if you go to our website and you click to the link, you can read the foundational mission and testimony of Shark Hunters. What are these people like in real life? What are these people?
These men. They're normal people like you and I. They love their country. And Germany got sucked into that war anyhow. You know, the three biggest lies of World War II are combined in one sentence, that Adolf Hitler started World War II to kill all the Jews and to rule the world. First off, Hitler did not start the war. It was the Polish. Secondly, to kill all the Jews, I had a good friend, Helmut Schmuckel. That's pretty Jewish. He was commander of a German U-boat, U-802. He wrote a book entitled Humanity on the High Seas. There was another guy, Helmut Rosenbaum, who commanded a German U-boat and sank a British aircraft carrier. I've been in cemeteries in Germany that are only Jewish soldiers that died fighting for Germany. So, you know, to start, he didn't start the war. He didn't want to wipe out the Jews. And as for taking command of the world, my friend Otto Kretschmer and I were talking, and he was telling me this. He started laughing, and he said, with what? Germany had a very good land army, but they had no long-range air transports. We had B-17s, B-24s, B-29s. They had nothing to compare with that. We had umpty zillion ships. They had no true transports that were capable of going anywhere. So they were never going to invade America. The Japanese were really never going to invade America on that side either. They just wanted to neutralize the American fleet so they could continue raping and killing. Those were the bad guys in World War II. You'll never see me owning a Jap car. I won't even take one at a rental place because they, you know, they talk about the 6 million Jews. Now, whether you believe that or not, that's another whole story. But the Japs killed millions and millions and millions of Chinese, and some in the most horrible ways. In Nanking, for instance, the Chinese dug huge ditches to stop the tanks. So when the Japanese army overran them, they tied up these Chinese and threw them in the ditches and then drove the tanks over them. They tortured American prisoners for sport, and they even cooked and ate some of them. George H.W. Bush crashed his plane near the island of Chichijima, and the motor launch was coming out to get him, and he would have been cooked and eaten by the troops on that island under command of their commandant. Some of them didn't want any part of it, but they had to. He got hanged. He was one of the few Japanese that got hanged, whereas with the Germans, oh, God, if you wore a uniform, you had to be hanged. So it was, you know, the politics played deeply, deeply into this. So, okay, I'll get off my soapbox.
Let me ask you one thing, and about this upcoming patrol, okay, that means tour of
tour.
Germany and Austria that you're going to be doing next year. It's about a year from now, okay? So go to sharkhunters.com for the details. But we talked about this in your last appearance. If you fought for Germany in World War II, You are knocking on the door of 100 years old. If you were fighting in 1939 to 1945 and you're
right.
still alive, I mean, you were in your late teens, early 20s. You know, if you're an officer, you're long gone. But mm-hmm. if you were, you know, an entry-level soldier, you're 100 now. Will the people, and I have talked to people who have gone on your tours, Harry, and they said it is the trip of a lifetime. There is no trip they've ever taken that can compare to what it is like to go with you and Shark Hunters to Germany and meet with these people. But we know now, in the year 2023, they are very old. They are 100, give or take. Will any of these veterans be able to attend your next patrol? Will people who go on your patrol, rather, be able to meet with any of these veterans?
Most likely not, because as you say, most of them are gone. Reinhard Hardegen, the guy who sank the first ship in American waters, died about five or so years ago. He was 105 when he died. One of our members, who's a dear, dear friend of mine, Peter Hansen, he was a U-boat officer, and then he got wounded so badly in an air attack. He couldn't go to sea anymore, so they put him in their spook world. He was a spy, an agent, whatever you want to call it. And he just turned 99 a couple weeks ago, and I talked to him on the phone yesterday. And he's sharp as a tack mentally, but he won't be coming out there either. We'll be seeing veterans younger, not from the war years, but we'll be going places. For instance, another one of the high points. Everybody has seen the party rally grounds at Nuremberg, right? And the big, huge stadium where Hitler come but down and make the speeches. We go there. Everybody can go there. But did you ever wonder what's inside that stadium? There's a big sign on the door that says Eingang verboten. And if you understand German, that means shark hunters are welcome here. It really means entry forbidden. But one of our members, a good friend of mine, was the assistant to the mayor over there in Nuremberg, and he's got the keys to everything. We go inside. There's a train station right behind that big stadium, and Hitler used to get off the train behind the stadium at this train station and walk in the back door, fashionably late, of course, and there were all sorts of people in this huge hall. And they had, you know, a meet and greet. And you'll see pictures of it on my website. The ceiling, it's inlaid gold all over the ceiling. The swastikas are still there. And if you remember the movie Triumph of the Will, they had these two huge 8-foot diameter braziers on either end of the stadium with flames and, you know, oil in there. They're there. They're inside the place. We go in there, we go upstairs, we can see Hitler's office in there. There's nothing in the office anymore. It's just a big stone room with no furniture, no wood, no door, no nothing. But who else can go there? Nobody else. And incidentally, we call them patrols. This was my best friend in Germany, Oberleutnant C. Hans-Georg Hess. 4 months past his 21st birthday, they gave him command of a U-boat and told him, go on out and die for your country, at a time when 9 out of 10 U-boats didn't come back from their very first patrol. He went out and came back 5 patrols, was awarded the Knight's Cross, and after the war, he became a lawyer and then a doctor of law. He said we should call these patrols, and he's the one who gave us our motto of yesterday's enemies are today's friends.
Yep. Yesterday's enemies are today's friends. Keith, what do you think?
Yep.
I think it's wonderful. Let me say this. My mother was an English girl. She, you know, the English men had to be in the armed services, so women had to take over men's jobs. She was a fireman.
Right.
She put out the fires in the Battle of Britain. Her
yep.
Home was bombed by a V-1 bomb. But
okay.
When I was a little boy, I remember, I loved model airplanes, and I got a lot of the German models, and
right.
It always was a puzzle to me, where are the 4-engine bombers for the Germans? They just had Stukas 1 engine and Heinkels 2 engines, but I didn't see you know, any equivalents to the B-17 or the B-24, the Lancaster and stuff like this.
Exactly.
Well, that's why the Germans weren't trying to bomb civilians in Britain. Their Air Force was developed to be a complement to Blitzkrieg. They wanted to have tactical bombers that could come in and bomb and provide bombing services for the Army. They weren't trying, like Churchill, to kill hundreds and thousands of civilians like they did at Dresden.
Let me interrupt. Most of our British members absolutely hate Churchill.
I don't doubt that.
Well, I said that there, you know, World War II was caused by a maniacal megalomaniac, but it wasn't Hitler, it was Churchill.
Hey, I laugh because it's true. We'll be right back. One more segment with Harry Cooper.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to LocalHoneyMan.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at LocalHoneyMan.com.
Listen, our second interview in as many months, really the second in 4 weeks with Harry Cooper, and I think you're beginning to get the idea of why we want him to be a regular. And we'll have him back on for sure at the very least again before the end of the year, if not more than that. Listen, we're talking about his patrols, his tours of Germany. You go to the top of our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, you look at the program promo for tonight's broadcast, and you can link over. You know, in years past, these patrols going back now, I mean, Shark Hunters is reaching its 40th year, okay? So
that's
it's
correct.
Been around
this
a
February
long
becomes
time.
40 years.
40 years. You go back 40 years, you go on any of these patrols, you're seeing a lot of the German veterans, the World War II German veterans. They're there. But as I've begun to realize, none of us are going to make it out of here alive. And so none of us live forever. And so you may or may not be able to meet with the German World War II veteran when you go on the 2023 patrol. But whether you do or you don't, you will see the places that they were and where that history was made. And Keith, before I toss it back to Harry, and I've got something a little bit unique I want to cover this segment before we run out of time. I want to thank again very quickly before we do, Sam Dixon and Virginia Abernathy for their joint appearances in the second hour. But as the descendants of Confederate veterans here in the South, Keith, we have a little something in common with the German veterans, do we not?
Right. The most reviled and hated white people in the world are Germans and Southern white people. So we feel a natural kinship with Germans because we're the whipping boys just like they were. And let me ask you this. Have you ever heard of Harry Vickers? He was the last English trench soldier in World War I to die. And there's a special article about him and what he said shortly before his death in American Renaissance at the American Renaissance website. So go there, type in the name Harry Vickers, and that article ought to come up. I think you'd find that very, very interesting about his experiences in World War I.
Well,
and the sense of kinship he had with the German soldiers on the other side.
Oh, wait. I think Harry can provide plenty of testimony. This Harry, our Harry, can provide plenty of testimony to that effect because he has seen it for the last 40 years, how these people. Harry, you shared some really. Some stories that really tugged at the heartstrings with regards to these former enemies coming together.
Don't let the enemies of both the American and German and British people set you against one another.
There you go. There you go.
Well, divide and conquer, yeah. One of the biggest things that we have done that I am most proud of, we gave these guys back their dignity. I belong to the American Legion and Legion Post and VFW Post. They got the flag flying out front. They got a tank or they got a field piece or something. The German veterans could meet, but quietly. And the one we will be visiting, the Navy League in Klagenfurt, they meet in what used to be a coal bin in a huge office building. They've come over to this country. We used to go 1 year in Germany, 1 year here. And we were down in the South Florida 1 year, and we got on one of these big multi-passenger airboats with about 24 U-boat people. They were having the time of their life. They had never been treated as humans. They were treated as Nazis, et cetera, et cetera. And they have a sense of humor. You see them all with the stern look on their face. Otto Kretschmer, for instance, the number one submarine commander of any navy in World War II. We were at a little village in southern Germany, and we had like 56 people on that tour. So I went in, got the keys all laid out, and I went into the restaurant. Otto Kretschmer was there with his wife. They were family. Otto told
remind me the audience who Otto family. Kretschmer is, in case anybody didn't catch your last appearance.
He was the number one top scoring submarine commander of World War II, sank 48 ships. Before the U.S. was even in the war. And he got caught, sent to POW camp. So anyhow, I went in, said hi to them, went out to the bus. I said, everybody get in, get your key, get your gear in your room, and be in the restaurant within 10 minutes. We're going to have dinner. Everybody was in there. I lose weight on all these tours because I never sit down and eat. I'm bouncing from table to table, making sure everybody is having a good time. And these poor young guys at one table, how you doing? You having a good time? Oh, yeah, the guy, this young kid says, do you think Otto Kretschmer will really show up and visit with us? I says, well, let's ask this gentleman at the next table. And I says, do you think Otto Kretschmer will be here? And it was him. He turned around, he looked at this kid, and he says, I think Otto Kretschmer is already here. And this guy about drowned in his soup. Oh, my God. I said, I'll let Otto finish eating, and he'll sign all your autographs. And I was at their home one time. I had a sleeping room in the Kretschmer home. And one morning we had breakfast out on the patio. I was sitting on one side of a round table, Otto on the other side. He was reading the newspaper. Mrs. Kretschmer, who was a doctor, was in a lounge chair doing a puzzle in her paper on American television doctors, and I was helping her. And their little schnauzer, Yuli, came and laid down right on my feet. Otto looked up over the top of his newspaper and said, Yuli is content. My family is complete. If you don't think that was just an awesome experience, the greatest submarine commander of the war with the Knight's Cross, oak leaf, and swords said I was part of his family.
Man.
That's great.
What would we compare that to, Keith? Forrest?
Yeah. Well, General Forrest, you know, in fact, there's going to be at my SCV camp this coming week, they're going to have a special presentation on Nathan Bedford Forrest III, who was the first American Brigadier General killed in World War II. Who was killed in a bombing mission over Germany.
All right, I want to shift gears because we only have about 5 minutes remaining. Now, if you haven't got enough of Harry Cooper, there's a good reason for that. You can't get enough of Harry Cooper, and so that's why we're going to continue to bring him back on very regularly. Once again, as we did going back way back to 2004, 2005, 2006, we're doing it again now, and for very good reason. But there's one thing, gentlemen, that we have to mention tonight. So the organization's name is Shark Hunters, sharkhunters.com. Listen, we haven't even gotten into the Third Reich in our South America. We had thought we would have time to get into that tonight. We'll save that for the next segment. Harry's an expert on that. Written a lot of books about that. Go to sharkhunters.com. It's called sharkhunters.com because it deals with, of course, the U-boats, the submarines. And by the way, the first group of people to ever craft a submarine.
An operational submarine that actually sank an enemy ship. Were the Confederates.
And that was the CSS Hunley, who sunk the USS Housatonic in Charleston Harbor. But anyway.
And Hunley was not part of the Confederate Navy. It was a privateer, but go ahead.
And Hunley died. Hunley died well before the Hunley.
But they were working for the Confederates.
Hunley died in that submarine the third time it sank. It sank four times.
That's right.
Yeah. One of our members is an expert on that.
I tell you what, you seem like you are, and I had the opportunity to go to the funeral of the last crew of the Hunley in Charleston in the mid-2000s, around the time that I first met you, Harry, and lay cedar at the grave of the commander, Lieutenant Dixon. That's with an X, not the way Sam Dixon spells it. But we got to go very quickly. Listen, it's called Shark Hunters because it's submarines. If it was called Eagles Hunters, we would be talking about the Luftwaffe. But listen, we've only got 3 or 4 minutes remaining. I would be remiss. I would be not helming this particular ship if I didn't mention another skipper who is due his due this particular weekend, this holiday weekend, Harry Cooper. The skipper, Christopher Columbus. Talk about that.
Oh, yeah. The guy who was such a terrible racist, and they got to topple all his statues and all that other foolishness. He was instrumental. Okay, he wasn't the first guy to find this place. Leif Erikson probably was, and he never saw North America. But he opened up the trade routes, which ultimately opened up and civilized North America.
And
South America too. And the Indies. Incidentally, let me kick in real fast. Nobody, not even me, especially me, nobody gets paid at Shark Hunters. We're all volunteers, every one of us. But now the Indies, that's how I got interested in the U-boats in the first place. A million years ago, I hung up the helmet. I was a professional race car driver running the super speedways. And I bought a sailboat and was living in the Bahamas, and that's where I started finding out about the U-boats. They were in our waters. I didn't even know that. And that's what started Shark Hunters.
Well, how about that? It all comes full circle this Columbus Day weekend. And, Keith, as you know, we at thepoliticalcesspool.org will have an article or two celebrating and honoring and remembering Christopher Columbus. Come Monday.
Yeah, he was basically the first one to bring the advent of the white race on a permanent basis to the Western Hemisphere.
Who gets a worst rap, Christopher Columbus or a German U-boat skipper?
Probably on par with each
depends,
other.
Yeah, it depends on who you're asking, I suppose.
Let me tell you one thing about I used to go to church with Henry Loeb, who was a Jewish mayor of Memphis. Who I would like to have set loose on the entire world because he was Jewish and had an Ivy League education, went to Brown University, but he was 6'5" and looked and sounded like John Wayne. He was a PT boat commander in World War II. And he said about John F. Kennedy, he said, any sailor incompetent enough to get a boat as fast and nimble as a PT boat struck and sunk by a destroyer should have been court-martialed rather than given an award. And he said that he would not have gotten an award if his father had not been Roosevelt's ambassador to the court of St. James.
Sharkhunters.com with tenths of seconds remaining. For Keith, for Harry, for Sam in Virginia, I'm James Edwards. Sharkhunters.com, folks, join the organization. Go on that tour next year. We'll talk to Harry again in a couple of weeks. I promise you that. So much more to cover. Good night and Godspeed. Talk to you next Saturday.